All right, you take your Bibles. Thank you for that song. I appreciate that. What a blessing that is. Psalms chapter number 84. Turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 84. I love that old hymn, amen, as a blessing. When the old cross gets boring to us, we're in trouble, amen. We are in trouble. Verse number 1, Psalms 84, verse number 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them, and Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. I want to stop right there for time's sake tonight. That's the only scripture we'll be going to tonight in this chapter. And I want to preach just for a few minutes. We'll pray and ask the Lord to bless this message tonight. But I want to preach on this thought, having peace of mind in a place of mourning. And the Lord spoke to my heart by way of some devotions this past week. I got some good stuff out of this chapter. Hopefully this will help you tonight as well. And trust that the Lord help us. You bow your head with me. We'll pray tonight. Ask the Lord to bless the message. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to come. Father, we pray that you would help us, Lord, that are here. Father, and that's the only ones that the Word of God can preach to tonight. Lord, are the ones that's here. Father, and I pray that you would help them, Lord. Help our hearts tonight. Lord, as we come before you tonight and feed off the Word of God, I pray that you'd feed our spiritual souls, Lord, with some good manna from heaven. Father, I pray that we'd be stirred when we leave here, Lord. I pray, Father, we'd be encouraged when we leave here. Lord, I pray that you'd do a good work tonight. Father, do a work that man cannot do. May the Spirit of God deal with our hearts as has needs. We'll praise you for all that you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And it's been said that Psalms 84, one of my favorite chapters in the book of Psalms, is to be called the Pearl of Psalms. If the 23rd be the most popular, and the 103rd be the most joyful, and the 119th the most deeply experimental, no doubt the 51st the most plaintive, this is probably one of the most sweetest psalms I believe that I know of in this entire book. And you say, well, why is that? And so many good things that you'll see through this chapter as we go through some of it tonight. But we find a man hungering after worshiping God in such a way that he longs for it more than the very breath of air that he breathes. And this is something that we don't find today. We don't find people that fall in love with God like they need to. We don't find Christians today that fall in love with the Word of God and with prayer and with service like they used to. Men used to long after coming to church. That used to be something that a man looked forward to during the week, is when it was church time. Whenever the doors were open, he couldn't wait for the next time that the doors were open. But this seems like a thing of the past nowadays, when a man would hunger after the Lord in such a way. It's agreed upon that throughout this chapter, and those who study this chapter, that all likeliness, David was the writer of this psalm. Most likely that's probable. It's also agreed upon that the timely manner of this psalm most likely is that it is David in a time when Absalom tried to dethrone his father, David, and take over. And you know what? It's not clearly written exactly the time of this psalm, but most likely this is the timing. This psalm's to be a comfort to the struggling saint, to strengthen their faith and point their eyes to a God that loves them and requires their praise. And as we take a look at this chapter, I want us to take a look at the first part of this chapter to get to the message tonight and where we want to be at. In verse number 1 through verse number 5, we'll look at two things that's seen in these verses. First of all, the want to praise is mentioned here in this chapter. And he starts out in this chapter with the word amiable. You'll notice, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. And that word amiable simply means to be adored, to be near to one's heart. And David is recognizing, a lot of people put that as just meaning loved. It wasn't just a love, it was beloved. It was near to his heart. And he recognizes the place of worship is a beloved place. He said, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. You'll notice that this word host will be mentioned a few times throughout this chapter. He mentions the Lord of hosts, or the God of hosts. In verse number 3, and then also in verse number 8, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer, give ear, O God of Jacob. And he recognizes God as being the God of the mass of persons, the God of everyone. And if he's the God of everyone, then he's the God of every place. Is that right or wrong? If he's the God of everyone, then it doesn't matter whether we're meeting in the house of God. He's still my God, whether I'm in a desert place. He's still my God, whether I'm in a prison somewhere. He's still the Lord of hosts, and I can call upon Him and He'll be there. And I can draw near to Him and He'll be there. And as David recognized that, he recognized the God and the Lord of hosts. Because David probably at this time, especially if it was the time when David was driven out of Israel or out of Zion during that time, he hungered and he longed for the house of God. He hungered for that place to where the people of God would meet, and they would sing the songs of Zion, and they would worship their Lord publicly together. And David longed for that opportunity to do that again. But he recognized God as a God of hosts, the Lord of hosts. And no matter what, the ones that was outside of Zion and the ones that was in Zion, that he was still the God of them. David says, though the desire, how amiable are thy tabernacles, those that should desire the house of God. And oh, how we need a desire to come to the house of God. We need a desire to come and worship the Lord in His house. We find not only he starts with the word amiable, but he mentions also the courts in verse number 2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. Now the courts are the place where the people would meet and give homage to the king. They would meet and honor their king in the courts. And no doubt the king desires that. And David, we find, desired the courts of his king. And true subjects love the courts of their king. And he said, my soul longeth. He not only mentions these courts, but he pours out his heart concerning the desire to come and to worship God and to stand in his courts again and give him praise, because he deserves praise. He mentions that word longeth in verse number 2. It comes from that Hebrew word kosaph. It means to become pale, to pine after, to be greedy after. Even fainteth. This word fainteth comes from that Hebrew word kolal. It means to end. It means to be finished or to perish. And literally David is pouring his heart and saying, I desire even to the point of death to walk into that house of God again and stand before the Lord of hosts and worship Him in front of all these people and with the people of God, and so that we would worship Him together. And he longed to be there again. And he said, I would rather die than not be there. And I would rather die than not get to that place to where I can walk in and praise the Lord of hosts and worship in His tabernacle again. I would rather end my life. I would rather perish. And friend, people don't have that desire today. People just, it's just nonchalant walking into the house of God and walking out today. They could care less, people that go into the house of God and leave. I wonder, where is that desire? Somewhere along the lines, our prayer time has stopped. Our Bible reading time has stopped. And when we don't desire God, when we don't desire the house of God, something's wrong in between somewhere. When people leave on a Sunday night and get ready to meet again on a Sunday morning, something's wrong somewhere when they don't desire that. Something's wrong when we don't desire the house of the Lord. As we think about this, he pours his heart concerning his desire for the house of God. In verse number 3, he longs for that sweet resting place. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house and the swallow a nest for herself. He mentions the bird that has freedom to go in and out to find, to go to that place of rest, to perch in that nest. And he mentions that resting place, and he was comparing this to himself. Oh, how he longed for that freedom that he had before to go in and out of the house of God, to go in and out and worship the Lord. That now, and most likely during that time, because during that time of Absalom, he didn't have that freedom then. He was blocked out of Zion during that time, and he longed for that freedom to go again. And be able to worship God. He said, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. The want to praise is mentioned in this chapter. But not only that, the way of praise is mentioned in this chapter. He mentions the word dwell in verse number 4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee, Selah. Happy or blessed is the man who dwells in the house of the Lord. That word dwell means to remain, as so as to marry. We've seen that on our Wednesday night studies. This word dwell is a word that's mentioned regularly, I'll get that word out, throughout the book of Psalms. And as he thinks about this dwell, he said, happy is a man that continues. And that's all that he's saying. A man can't remain. He's not talking about remaining in the tabernacle 24/7. David didn't do that. The children of Israel didn't do that. And we can't do that. But what he's talking about is a continual praise. Those that continually have that praise in their heart are those that will continually worship in the house of God. Let me tell you, we had the youth group for several years that are at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And we seen them come in and we see them go out. We seen them as they grew up and slip into the back of the pews and right out the door. And they didn't have a desire for the house of God. They really didn't have a desire for the things of God. And you thought you'd seen some sparks in them, during the time. And there were some that stayed. There were some that went on to do some great things. We even have had one that was in our group then, and he's a preacher now. Praise the Lord for that. But understand, not all of them surrendered their life to preaching. Not all of them was preacher wives. Amen. A lot of them slipped right out the back door and wasn't seen anymore. Well, what happened there? Somewhere along the way, they didn't want to dwell. They didn't have that desire to dwell in thy house. The spirit of praise wasn't upon them to give God the honor that God so greatly deserved. It wasn't in them to do that, you see. Whether it's something wrong at home, whether the parents didn't teach them right, whether they just didn't get in the, whether they were saved or not, that could even be the case. I don't know exactly what went on, but what I do know is it's got to be in us to do and to remain and to dwell and to continue in praise to the Lord of hosts. It ought to be in us if we're saved tonight. It ought to be something that we just want to do. The way of praise is mentioned here, though, as he not only deals here with the word dwell, and happiness didn't come to those who didn't desire to be there, but it came to those who desired to be in the house of God. But in verse number 5, he said blessed, and he uses that happiness again. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them. And he mentions that heart in verse number 5. One preacher put it this way: the blessedness of sacred worship belongs not to half-hearted, listless worshipers, but to those who throw all their energies into it. And I'd say amen there. Amen. And that is for those who come to church with all their heart and want to give themselves to the God of heaven. That's the ones that will receive from the Lord. That's the ones who have praise in their heart. That's the ones who have desire in their heart. That's the ones where the young people will stick around after they've become of age themselves. Because it's in their heart. It's something they've put their heart into. Don't put young people your heart into coming to church just because mama or daddy wants you to. Do it because you love the Lord and you have a desire for God. Let Him put it in your heart. Amen. And as adults need to do the same thing. We don't need to do it for duty's sake. And oh, how it can be that way. What would so-and-so think? What would my church think? What would the pastor think? What would my brother think? What would my sister think? Don't do it for any of those reasons, but do it because God has put it in your heart. The strength of the Lord is reserved for those who give God all their heart and who subject themselves fully under the Lord's authority and under His control. The strength of the Lord is reserved for those people. And as we think about those lines tonight and get to verse number 6, we'll see three things real quick and we'll be done out of verse number 6 and 7. And understand, we had to get an understanding of verse number 1 through verse number 5 to see what's happening in verse number 6 and to see who we can preach to tonight. You understand? You say, oh, that's kind of crazy. Well, are you preaching to everybody? Not really. Think about this. Verse number 6, you read with me. Who, passing through the valley of Baca? Now, first of all, it's important to know who the who is. And that's not an owl, amen. Who. That was the reason for the first half of our study. The one who desires the house of the Lord, who finds grace and rest in the presence of the Almighty, that's the who that is mentioned in verse number 6. The who is the one that has given their all. They've given all their heart when they come into the house of God, to hearing the Word of God, to heeding to the Word of God. They want to be obedient to God. They want to do what God has urged them to do by the Spirit of the Lord. This is the who that's mentioned in verse number 6. So if you're not the who from verse number 1 through verse number 5, then I can't preach to you tonight. But if you are the who in verse 1 through verse number 5, then you can be preached to out of verses 6 and 7. So if you are the one that comes and gives your heart to the Lord, and you have given your desire unto the Lord, then this is you tonight. And as we think about verse number 6, we notice in verse number 6, he said, who, passing through the valley of Baca, may get a well. I got to notice that first of all, these in verses number 1 through verse number 5 are not exempt from going through the valley of Baca. And the first thing we'll see tonight in verse number 6 would be the weeping. The weeping. Baca comes from the word Baca. It means weeping, a valley in Palestine. Most likely this is the same place that's mentioned in the book of Judges. If you remember when God brought the children of Israel to Canaan land. In Judges chapter 2, in verse number 1, the Bible says this, and an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim, and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and have brought you unto the land, which I swear unto your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides. And their God shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim. And they sacrificed there unto the Lord. The word Bochim there comes from that word Bochim. It means the weepers, a place in Palestine. So Baca means weeping, a valley in Palestine. Bochim means the weepers, a place in Palestine. The valley of Baca is the place that all Christians have seen at some point in time in their life. Isn't that right? I mean, all of us have been to that place. All of us has entered into that valley. Whatever it may be, and there are those mournful times, times when we're given to temptation, times when we're given up in discouragement, times when we're given out in service, times when we feel down, times when we feel up, but most of the time it's the down times that gets us. Amen. Given up, given out, given in, whatever it is that you're facing, whatever that valley is that you're facing at your time in life, all of us have seen that valley of Baca. That place of mourning, the place of pain, whether it be a death, whether it be a snare, whatever it is for the children of Israel during that time when they had entered into this particular valley, they had gotten the news that they had entered into Canaan, but not all the inhabitants would be driven out because they didn't obey the voice of the Lord. They wept, they cried out unto God, but understand that the Lord's word had spoken. And to this day, they still have that snare. To this day, they still have those problems. They still face those same ones that they faced then. They're still facing them. As we think about this valley of Baca, notice what the blessed man does, though, in this time. He says in verse 6, "Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well." He makes it a well. The well comes, with a well comes refreshment. With a well comes rest. With a well comes a place and a time to where the Lord begins to give us a fresh anointing. And as I think about the Christians today, most people don't know how to let God make the best out of a bad situation. Most people don't know how to allow that God of heaven to minister to their hearts and allow the angels of heaven to attend unto them during those times of mournful times, during the agony times, during the discouraging times, during the times when we feel like giving up. During the times when our marriages are falling apart, or kids are going the wrong way, or things in our life seem to be falling apart, or jobs seem to be falling apart, or deaths arise in the families, these valleys of Baca, these places of mournful times, hey, are places that will trip a Christian up and keep him down whenever he doesn't have to be kept down. The valley of Baca is spiritual death to many Christians. Brother Chad, it's a valley that a lot of Christians don't come out of. I wish that we had this whole place filled up for this message tonight, because all of us need this. All of us need what's being said tonight. Courts, you're going to find out that in these times, you're going to need these verses tonight. It is that one that has stayed with God. It is that one in verses 4 and 5. These are the key to unlock this chapter. To unlock especially these couple of verses that we're dealing with right now. Those that continually dwell. They keep their eyes set on heaven. They keep their hearts set on God. They keep praying. They keep studying. They keep in the Word of God. They keep in fellowship with the Lord. They don't mind obeying the Scripture when it's preached to them. They don't mind saying I'm wrong and God's right. This is that man that in the valley of Baca, he's going to find the strength of the Lord. And instead of dying there in that valley, instead of thirsting to death, he's going to make him a well. He's going to make him a well. I think about this well. The man that continued in the praises of God, relies on the strength of God, makes this well. Notice the possibility of disappointment with this well, though. A man digs a well and he's trying to find a spring. He's trying to get water from the ground. Now understand that in this particular case, the water didn't come. The water didn't come with this well. Hey, man's ability here was, let's dig and find some water. But you know what they were digging for? They were making a well so that God could fill it. They were making a well so that God could supply the water. And though they dig and dig and dig, we have to understand that it's not them that's going to get this water anyway. If it comes from below or it comes from above, it's going to come from God. And understand that the possibility of disappointment was here whenever they couldn't hit water. Whenever they dig these wells throughout these valleys, and this valley in Palestine was the journey up from the south to Israel or to Jerusalem. And during these long dry spells, during these times, there was no water in the brooks. There was no water in the rivers. They were thirsting. They were about to die. They had come to this place to where all they could do was sit down and say, I don't know if we're going to make it or not. And you know what? That's how we get sometimes. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it through this time in my life or not right now. But it's important to know that in that valley of Baca, in that valley of weeping, in that mournful time, let's make some wells and let God refresh us during that time. Let's get in our Bible and begin to dig us a well. Let's get in prayer and begin to dig us a well. Let's make it a well. And as we find this well, not only the weeping and the well, but the waters mentioned here. The waters mentioned in verse number 6. They make it a well, and the rain also filleth the pools. God sends provision for the well. Hey, even though they might not hit water, God begins to rain down the water from heaven. He begins to fill it up Himself so that they can know that the provision comes from God. And I would wonder, in our valley of Bacchus, hey, can we dig us a well and allow God and trust that the Lord is able to provide? He's able to make the provision for you to get through that time. He's able to make the provision for you to get through that season in your life. Whatever it may be, sometimes it could be people and that go through and hard times, and people don't even know that they're going through hard times. There was a couple of times when we were on deputation raising support to come here. People really didn't know I was going through hard times, and I was. There were some dry spells, and I've hit a couple of dry spells up here. I'm not going to lie to you. I think we need to be honest before the Lord tonight. We all hit dry spells. We all get those times, Court, whenever it feels like that God just didn't, we're just not in contact with the Lord like we used to be. When it feels like that we just haven't done all that we could do, and we feel like we've been negligent, or we feel like we haven't done what we're supposed to do as far as worshiping the Lord or getting close to God. And maybe we enter that place of prayer and our tears are dried up. Maybe we bow our head and it just doesn't seem like we're connecting with the Lord like we used to. There are going to be those times when we feel far off from God. There are going to be those times when we don't feel like that Lord is near. But understand, that's our valley of Baca. Let's dig us a well and let's allow God to fill that well. Let's trust the Lord to make some good things happen out of bad situations. Or maybe make some good things happen out of what would seem like a drought in our life. A time when we just don't feel like that God is near to us as He should be. You know, those times whenever I feel far away from the Lord. And I was talking to my wife just yesterday. And last night, I said, I just feel like this week has been a dud for me. And you know what? And you say, oh, Brother Shoemaker, I don't know. You know, it happens to everybody. You know, it happens to pastors. It happens to evangelists and missionaries. Happens to lay people. Everyone, every Christian's going to experience that time when we just feel like that we're not connected like we should be. When we feel like things are just dried up. When our heart's just not connected to the Lord like it should be. You're going to feel those times when you bow your head and you just can't connect with the Lord. It just, you don't feel Him stirring. It doesn't mean that He's not there. It doesn't mean that He's not waiting with provision. It just means that He's testing you for a little while. Will you keep going if you can't feel God? Will you keep going if you can't? If it, the tears don't come? Will you keep going? You know, if there's a drought and no matter how long it may be. If you go weeks, if you go a month, if you go 2 months and you hadn't really felt the Lord moving, will you keep going? There's a lot of churches, I believe, that focus upon the physical and they focus on emotions and they hype the flesh up. And you know, there's a lot of people that can't seem to stay focused in a lot of those religions because it is a fleshly thing and God is not a fleshly God. He's spiritual. And we have to trust Him and be moved off facts of the Word of God, that God is still there and He's still on the throne and He's still going to move. We just have to wait things out sometimes. In our Valley of Baca, many times we're not going to feel the Lord move. We're not going to feel God stirring in our hearts in our Valley of Baca. Let's dig us some wells. Let's let God fill these pits. Let's let the Lord fill these wells and refresh us again with a cool drink. I think about old, and it's been said from this pulpit, a preacher talked about old Brother Howarth and a good friend of ours. We had them on our prayer list for a while there and still need to lift them up before the Lord. He had two boys. They was out hunting. Some of you probably know that story. One boy's gun accidentally fired and shot the brother in the back of the leg. One brother's been going through surgeries. The one that got hit and thought he was going to lose his leg. And the other brother just going through torture because of what happened. That family, and I'm talking about a good family, That man loves the Lord and preaches, and that family is separated family. As I think about, you know, this family, they hit their Valley of Baca. Old Brother Howarth made him a well. He went ahead and digged him one, and he just said, "We need to wait on God. We need to get a drink of water. We need to refresh ourselves here in this valley for a little while." And oh, how they made it through, and they're still making it through this valley just because, Brother Chad, they've been digging those wells and waiting on God to move in a way and fill them up a little bit along this valley. Hey, they'll get out of this valley eventually. They'll move on eventually. But for right now, they're having to dig some wells. And you never know when it's your turn to dig a well and allow God to give you that spiritual drink out of that well that the Lord provides the water for. Allow God to fill those pools up. That water was the provision of blessing from the Lord. And of course, you know, in that time of weeping, there are going to be times of mourning in your life when you're going to have to wait on God to provide some blessings. You're going to have to just sit there because there's no way out of those valleys. You're in those valleys and you're just going to have to press through. But while you're in that drought, while you're there and you're weeping, while you're there and it feels like your world is going to end, dig you some wells. Dig some wells along the way and ask God, "Lord, won't you fill these wells for us?" You know, Brother James, I think these people dug those wells and just sort of waited on God to come through. Hey, they knew God was going to do something. Why? Because they had stayed continually in the house of God. They had stayed with the Lord before. They had pressed and used His strength to press through. And their heart was on the ways of God. They centered themselves and give their all to the Lord. And because of that, they dug those wells and waited on the provision of the Lord. Are you here tonight and you're going through one of those valleys? Maybe it's not for you right now, but you're going to need this one day. You're going to remember, "Lord, help me to dig a well. Help me to dig one right now, Father, to get me through this situation." Help me right now. I'm in my valley and I need something. I need some help from heaven. God will send the provision for what we need. It's just our job. It's our job to make it a well. Get ready for the blessings. Get ready for God's message and His grace to you during those times. Because He's going to send it. This isn't for those that don't desire God. It's going to take a man that desires the Lord. That's the reason there's so many casualties in the Valley of Baca. There's so many casualties. I think about the children of Israel and probably the many families during that time in the Valley of Bokim. In that time, whenever the people, and as a whole, the people did draw near, but there were those that went to their respected places, their inheritances, their land. And those gods, they had to live amongst the people, amongst those gods for the rest of their life. They lost children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. They lost their family to those things. All because they entered that valley and they didn't take heed to what God had told them from the beginning. Let's heed to the Word of God. Amen. What God would have for us to do. Let's all bow our heads tonight as Courtney comes and might play through a little verse invitation. Maybe you say, Brother Shoemaker, I'm in a valley right now. I have reached my Valley of Baca. And I need God's help. This will be the night when you can say, Lord, help me. Help me to dig a well. Help me to make it a well that you could rain in the blessings. Pour out the provision for me to get through this tough time. Father, we pray that you bless this invitation time tonight. Father, as we call out to you, I pray that you'd help us now. God, so many, Lord, of us may be going through some tough times. But I know that you can help us. Father, I pray that you would help us to make a stand tonight. Lord, in these valleys that we're in, help us to dig. Help us to make it a well. Lord, we'll praise you for what you'll do tonight now. In Jesus' name, amen. As she plays, you come.